whatever's on your mind. Just dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We've got a lot of features. We give them to you. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. So much to talk about here tonight, Mark. Of course, your calls are the primary element if you make them, but I've got some disturbing news, and it's a bunch of disturbing news, and I'm not sure which one to start with. Post-acquittal detentions, 14-year-old girl tasered in the head, police chief denouncing cowardly iPhone users. Pick one.
Police announcing cowardly iPhone users.
According to the Washington Examiner, area drivers looking to outwit police speed traps and traffic cameras are using an iPhone application and other global positioning system devices that pinpoint the location of the cameras. That has irked D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier, who promised her officers would pick up their game to counteract the devices, which can also help drivers dodge sobriety checkpoints. She told the Examiner, "I think that's the whole point of this program. It's designed to circumvent law enforcement. Law enforcement that is designed specifically to save lives.
And annoy the crap out of you and slow you down." You know, these DUI sobriety checkpoints, I'm just guessing. Yeah, let me go out on a limb
here. No, this isn't just sobriety checkpoints. This is speed traps and traffic cameras. They're
all of them. Right. I'm going to address sobriety checkpoints first off.
Got
because
it.
A, they generate probably more in the individual ticket than most of these. I don't think the drunk people are accessing their iPhones to avoid these sobriety checkpoints. I mean, if sobriety checkpoints annoy the crap out of us sober people.
Well, there may be somebody who's drunk enough to where they could be driving well and accessing an iPhone, but
if they're too drunk, what's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. The new technology streams to iPhones and global positioning system devices, sounding off an alarm as drivers approach speed or red light cameras. Lanier said the technology is a cowardly tactic, and people who overly rely on those and break the law anyway are going to get caught.
You're
going
to go to hell.
The greater D.C. area has 290 red light and speed cameras, comprising nearly 10% of all traffic cameras in the United States. Oh, my gosh. I always knew Washington, D.C. was bad news, but the more I learn about it, the worse it seems.
Well, driving there is a nightmare anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, adding speed cameras and traffic light cameras to it, no better.
So Lanier, the chief of police, said the cameras have decreased traffic deaths. Red light.
No, that's not true. All the studies show that red light cameras increase traffic accidents.
Mm. Red light and speed.
I'm sure theirs are special, though.
Right. And they've been a hot topic in Maryland for a while when the governor signed a bill in May allowing local governments to place speed cameras in school and highway construction zones and blah, blah, blah. So they go on to talk to some of the people that use these. The Phantom Alert, I guess, is the company that is putting this out. So credit to them. Founder and CEO Phantom Alert, Joe Scott, claimed 9 out of 10 police departments across the country support his software. He says that if the police come against us, it's going to make them look like they are only after revenue from the camera-generated
citations.
That's
all they're there for.
Right. But they try to position it as it being a safety issue. And, you know, and that's what the Lou Rockwell blogs, where I found this out, they pointed out, and rightly so, that when the government positions these cameras as being a safety thing, they're in a real bad way because it's obvious that it's not. Because if it's all about safety, then they shouldn't have any problem with somebody holding a sign out in front of a speed trap. They shouldn't have any problem with people keying up on a CB radio and telling about speed traps. They shouldn't have any problem with this. This is the new version of the CB radio, basically, of people keying in on their iPhones and their Blackberries or whatever, right, and getting access to this information. That's going to slow people down, isn't it?
Here's the thing. I think that that speed limit cameras could be used for the purpose of making the road safer. But you have to put them everywhere. They have to be all over the place, and they would you would have to I forgot what the reason was, but you know, obviously that's going to cost a lot of revenue just to put cameras everywhere, because if you move them around, how do these iPhones know that the camera's there? They don't have something.
There's a website. Or
someone's reported it, and then you know, the iPhone lets you know that you're in the vicinity that somebody has reported it. Is that how?
There is a company called Phantom Alert, which is a Washington-based company. They're the ones that created the detection software. So I imagine if you'd Google Phantom Alert, all one word, then you would find out more about this. But essentially, it probably is either the company that's adding the cameras to the database, either it's a Washington, D.C. specific program, or it's operating in different cities. I do not know, because it's based in Washington.
The bureaucrats want to beat them on this one, is all they have to do is move their cameras every day then. I don't know how it works specifically, but
not an easy task. Likely, these are permanently installed cameras, most likely.
Well, then they need to get mobile ones. They have them. They have mobile ones that that detect your speed, that tell you you're going 67 in a 35 mile an hour zone. You know, they have those. So why couldn't they move others?
Hey, get this.
Your tests don't want to work.
Right, well, exactly. Photo radar tickets generated nearly $1 billion in revenues for D.C. alone between 2005 and 2008. $1 billion. So there's a real market.
They want the money.
Well, and there's a real market incentive there for somebody like this Phantom Alert company or whoever else to come up with products and services that help people avoid those tickets. Same thing as radar detectors. That's why radar detectors are so popular, is because it helps people avoid having to pay money to the government. It's an investment that could pay, you know, pay for itself in no time.
Usually radar detectors, they have the low end radar detectors, at least that are, you know, $75, $50, and they're pretty good for the old style gun, but. And some police departments have those and some don't. But the new LIDAR, you pretty much have to get one of the high-end radar detectors.
Do they have jammers?
They have a LIDAR bouncer, and I don't know how that works. They say that they'll pay your ticket for you know, speeding, but
that's awesome.
Is there a ticket for bouncing the LIDAR, and are they going to pay that one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I do know this. According to the story, the Phantom Alert company that created the software, it's apparently user-generated, so users go in and they update the locations of this. So I suppose
the bureaucrats could move these things every day if that's what they wanted to do.
They could, or they could go into the software and try to confuse the software, but I'm sure there are people that are kind of keeping an eye on things to make sure that...
What's software?
The Phantom Alert. Again, the Phantom Alert is a company.
How are the bureaucrats going to screw with the software on the Phantom Alert?
They could sign up as a user, and they could just put in fake information.
Well, yeah, they tend to handle that on Wikipedia pretty well.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure the users of Phantom Alert that are real Johnny on the spot about this are likely keeping an eye on things to make sure that stuff doesn't happen. So
really, this is just saying that the government needs to do its job, and you'll always find the government saying, "We don't want to do our job, and you're bad."
Well, wait a minute, Mark.
This is constant, though.
I thought the job of the government, and it says this in a lot of government constitutions and things, I thought the job of the government was to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of property or pursuit of happiness. Seems to me like the marketplace is yelling loudly that they don't wish to be ticketed. That they're not interested. I mean, this is a market signal saying, hey,
people don't want to be ticketed, but they want roads to be safe. They have been told up till now, and you know, most people believe it, that going too fast, because the reason is you've seen somebody who's going too fast for the environment that they're in, and you say, wow, that's dangerous. And it looks dangerous, mm-hmm. especially if they're on two wheels. The motorcyclists look the most dangerous, it seems to me. So they want that stopped, so they're willing to stop other people and, you know, in the process. You listen to somebody who speeds, it's me, and everybody else out there, yeah. They're not going to say, let's get rid of speed limits. Most of them aren't willing to say that.
Well, but I think that most of the people that are using this service and most of the people paying $1 billion in revenues to D.C. would probably have appreciated not getting a ticket in the first place.
Sure.
And they would have ended up making it to their destination safely, whether or not they'd gotten the ticket.
There's going to be speed limits on any kind of road out there, whether it's a private market road or a government road.
Not necessarily. Montana didn't have them for a while.
Right. And Montana doesn't have cars like Washington, D.C. has cars.
All I'm saying is, Mark, this is an indicator, an economic indicator that says that people don't want this. They don't want these fines. That's why these products and services exist, to help people avoid these fines. And it's clear that the government is not interested in serving people. Otherwise, it would give people what they want. And they don't want this. The government just does whatever it wants to do. The government people just decide arbitrarily to do things, and they don't care what you think. They're going to take as much money from you and extract as much obedience from you as they possibly can. More on the way. You bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell or HP computer. Guaranteed. Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account, then call right now for your brand new Dell or HP computer. Call 800-250-0146. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-250-0146 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Call now and we will add a free Nintendo Wii game system. That's right, a free Nintendo Wii. But you must call now. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-250-0146. That's 800-250-0146. Again, 800-250-0146.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. Coming up, we'll tell you about the Social Security number and how it's really anything but secure. 800-259-9231 is the number for you, and you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We get a lot of features, including live streams, broadband version of the show, and a dial-up version. Both are free for you at listen.freetalklive.com. Also, the webcam is there as well, listen.freetalklive.com. Let's go to your phone calls and talk to Scott in Wisconsin. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello there.
Hi, this is Crazy Scott that called you last week. How you guys doing, Mark and Ian?
Okay, Scott, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just want to thank you guys for bearing with me when I talked to you about that situation last week. But, hey, I wanted you guys to...
Don't even remember what it was. Go ahead with your thoughts tonight.
Okay, well, that's all right. You'll find it. The people can find it in your...
They sure can. So what's on your mind, Scott?
I wanted to talk about... Did you hear what our vice president said over the weekend?
I don't have a vice president.
Well, our vice president of the United States.
Oh, well, you keep saying our vice president. If it's your vice president, that's fine, but I don't believe in that sort of stuff. But go ahead with your thoughts. What did he say?
Well, you know Joe Biden.
Yeah, that guy. I don't know him, but yes, go ahead.
Okay. He said over the weekend that we'd have the green light to Israel that if they wanted to hit Iran, that they could.
That's correct. I heard that on the news.
I guess so. Obama said that they don't have the green light, so I just wanted you guys to comment on that.
Well, I suspect they have the green light. It's just that they don't want the media to be telling people that they have the green light. It would be my guess.
Right. And also another thing that would be affecting you guys and me and everybody, how are you guys doing on the hate speech bill that is been passed by the House of Representatives, and it's going to go before the Senate, I guess the middle of next week. And from my understanding, if that gets passed by the Senate, we can't talk about anything that hurts anybody's feelings because we can be arrested for it if that passes.
Know. I haven't heard much about it beyond just listening to callers to this radio show. And, I mean, I always just have to kind of believe what they say because I certainly don't have the time to go and read a piece of legislation myself. I mean, clearly the legislators don't have time to read it. How could I? I actually have something to do with my time. So I don't know exactly what the ramifications are, but I'm sure that we'll see something pop up on Lou Rockwell or somebody will really boil down exactly what this means, because it's hard to just say that, oh, well, yes, because people have called in and claimed that that's going to be the case, that that's actually going to be the case. But presuming you're right, presuming what you're saying is true and correct, then that's pretty disturbing news. It means that the United States will become more like Canada, for instance, where they do already have had laws like that on the books for a long time, and they do go after people who say what are considered offensive things.
But it's nice that nobody gets their feelings hurt in Canada.
As though that is actually the case. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the concern. I don't see why it wouldn't pass, right? I mean,
who wants somebody's feelings to get hurt?
Right? There's all kinds of legislation that's in the pipe, and none of it sounds too good to me. But what did you expect? And that's how it's been for the last several decades, my entire life in this country. Things just keep getting worse. And every 4 years, you're told that, well, just elect somebody different who's also a Republican or a Democrat, and that'll change everything. And everybody, and a lot of people just keep believing it. Not everybody. Some people kind of get it, that it's a big scam, and they drop out, but they don't know what to do.
Right. Well, there really isn't much to do, honestly.
And then there's some people that get that it's a big scam, but they still don't know what to do, so they keep playing in the system and keeping their fingers crossed and hoping that something will change. Of course, Ron Paul actually did seem to scratch the surface of maybe making something happen with his candidacy in 2008. But, you know, nothing really came out of that. Oh, and didn't I hear that the Senate voted down the audit the Fed bill or something like that?
They just signed on Feingold, too, onto their I don't think the end of the Fed bill, or excuse me, the audit the Fed bill is dead by any stretch.
Okay, I thought I heard something again through the rumor mill. I saw a Facebook update from somebody saying that, darn the Senate for voting down the audit the Fed bill.
I think that articles like that, take the wind out of people's sails and really don't do anything good for.
So wait, is it true? Did they vote it down?
It's not voted down.
Oh, okay.
They're still putting people on. I don't even know that it's been voted in the House of Representatives yet. They just have 244 sponsors or something like that.
I thought I saw. Maybe it was they removed it from the Senate version or something like that. I don't know.
Somebody can call in and
clear me up on that, because I'm confused. 800-259-9231. But look forward to more freedom-stealing methods and legislation to come out of Washington, D.C. very, very soon. In fact, on that topic, we will tell you in moments about post-acquittal detentions. That's something they're talking about. Well, that sounds really freedom-oriented, doesn't it? Post-acquittal detentions. First, let's talk to Jonathan in Oklahoma. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I called last night about the emergency order of detainment. I'm one of those guys that just recently dropped out of the whole political system, realizing how big of a sham it is. However, I work in an emergency department. And, you know, from time to time, we get people that come in who are a threat to themselves or others. And the question that I have is does this violate a person's rights to who has attempted suicide or has threatened to harm themselves or others to have an emergency order of detainment essentially prescribed to them by a doctor and then sent over to a psychiatric hospital for 72 hours.
This is what they call the Baker Act in the state of Florida, if I'm recalling correctly.
From state to state, it varies on what it's called. And here in Oklahoma, it's emergency order detainment. And, you know, having to go through this process as a caregiver, I question, is this a right thing to do for people, or is it,
This is a hard question, and I don't know if I have a good answer for it. I'm not sure exactly, because if you are having some sort of an episode or an issue, and your friends, for instance, let's say it's your friends, not some doctor, let's say it's your family that kind of takes you into one of these places, then who's responsible for that action? Is it the responsibility of the hospital for taking you in? Is it the responsibility of your friends for taking you there in the first place? Do they share responsibility? Also, after the fact, is there liability? Does the person who was taken in, let's say they return to sanity, do they have the ability to go after those people? And if so, why would anybody go ahead and do that if they were going to be found liable for taking somebody's freedom away from them? Should crazy people be free to be crazy, as long as they're not burning things down or killing people? I'm hard-pressed to say that they should be taken away from themselves. I'm sure somebody could paint a real horrific picture and come up with a reason why this would be an appropriate thing to do, but I have a real tough time with this one. I'd love to have some input on it.
I do, too. I just, the thing is as a nurse, my job is to help people out, and sometimes people go into these EODs and they get the help that they need. However, I'm also an advocate. If you want to in your life, that's your choice and your responsibility. Mm-hmm. But then where does the line get drawn when somebody's in on our comes in our ER and they're damn near dead? Where do we go from there?
And I want to bring you back here in a moment. We can look into this a little deeper, and I would like to hear what you think about this, Mark. 800-259-9231. Are you somebody who's in the mental health field? And do you have any comments on this? We'd love to hear your thoughts at 800-259-9231. It's Free Talk Live.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Chews for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchews.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything if you dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Features including updates. Get signed up, and we keep you in the loop. And whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live, just go to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list free. That's updates.freetalklive.com. Just as a quick insert, I did find the story from Reuters about the audit the Fed bill. Apparently, the Senate has indeed cast it aside, essentially, where on procedural grounds they blocked a bid to permit the audit the Fed stuff from going through, essentially, from being attached to some piece of legislation, basically. So it's not to say it can't come back. It may very well come back in a different form.
It's got 245 sponsors in the House.
Yeah.
That makes it a pretty strong piece of legislation.
Just saying. Initial results are they've thrown it out. So not sure what that's going to mean for the long term, but I wouldn't get my hopes up. Let's go back to Jonathan in Oklahoma asking some good questions about how mental health might be dealt with. Somebody who possibly is a danger to themselves or others, how that situation might be dealt with in the absence of a governmental violent monopoly over coercive force. Jonathan, other thoughts for us? Go ahead before we continue the discussion.
My biggest question is that most mental health hospitals are ran by the state. There are a few hospitals that will offer more of a specialty psychiatric help, a la geriatric psych or pediatric psych, whatever. But most of the hospitals are ran by the state. What I'm really kind of curious is how is the free market going to essentially fund these places, for people in need of this? And now the EOD thing, what I was really wanting to know is, does this violate somebody's personal right to go ahead and continue suicide? But
when you say EOD, EOD, you mean emergency order of detainment.
Correct.
And actually, Johnson, while he was here a couple weeks ago, dug up a story that we never had a chance to get to from Sheldon Richmond at the Future of Freedom Foundation, which is, by the way, a really great, really principled organization. And Sheldon addresses this in a lengthy article, which we're not going to have, I don't think, the time to read the whole thing, but there's some excerpts here that I think will be food for thought. So let me share these while we've got you on the line. It's part of the story says that a person diagnosed as mentally ill and judged to be a danger to himself or others has practically none of the rights enjoyed by the rest of us. Such a person could be committed to a hospital and forcibly administered drugs or other brutal psychiatric interventions. Or he could be subjected to outpatient commitment, according to which he'll be compelled to take drugs. If he refuses, he can be hospitalized, that is, locked up. It's estimated that some 2 million people are committed against their will in the United States each year. Now, notice the failure, he points out, Sheldon points out, to distinguish between harm to oneself and to others. So I think that is an important point to make. If somebody is a threat to others, if they're going to hurt somebody or they have hurt somebody, then clearly there's action that can be taken there.
Right.
So we can deal with that particular issue of, as far as the question of how would that be paid for. Charity, I'm sure, would be an option. I don't know. Normally when we talk about criminals, putting violent criminals in jail cells, we talk about that they might be able to pay for that by having the criminals work. Of course, it would be up to the criminals to work. If they didn't work, they might not really be eating very well. They'd get like the most bare subsistence kind of food in that case. How well that kind of a system would work with mental health patients, I don't know. I'm sure there's a wide gamut of people that are in the mental health system.
Right.
I think that I think there are a lot of people out there that are concerned about mental health and probably would be willing to contribute to that. Charity is sort of the easy answer. What other ways would the marketplace come up with to turn that into a profitable thing?
Charity is what handled mental health up until the relatively recent decades.
Yeah, I don't want to just rest on charity to say that's the only way it would work. There could be other things that the marketplace would innovate that might be able to help pay the bills, and maybe partially charity, partially something else. Hard to exactly say how it would work, but then we get to the issue of what about people who are harmed themselves?
Right.
And that's when the sticky part about, well, if you love this person, you don't want to see them harm themselves. Is it your business to get into their business?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing in the field that I work in, is when we get somebody who's potentially on the edge of life or death, and they've done this to themselves, and it's one of those things. It's like, well, should we just? I mean, legally, I cannot just sit back and let the guy die on the table. We have to, essentially intervene in any way we can. But, then again, it comes to the question, I guess more of a personal question, is, well, why are we doing this if this person chose to do this?
And that's a great point. I mean, it goes back to the conversation I think we were having with Julia about how every life is so sacred that even to the point of drawing out somebody who's in a critical situation with terminal illness, with a very painful life that they're living, some people would say, well, they have to be kept alive as long as possible because there's some inherent value to sucking air.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, maybe crazy people who want to hurt themselves should be allowed to do that. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say that when I don't have a loved one who's gone insane that I have to deal with.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, man, is this a difficult situation. Mark, you've been kind of absorbing all this.
Well, quite honestly, this is a dangerous area for libertarians to tread. To act like I can, when I know nothing about mental health, to, just come up with some kind of blanket solution. It's not an easy. It's probably one of the hardest issues to look at from the libertarian perspective, and I congratulate you for finding that particular issue. But, I would also like to point out that we're doing a really crappy job of handling mental health today.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we are. It is.
And so, if you were to go to a system where people had a more voluntary situation in mental health, and there were hospitals
that were supported by charity. And you know what? Maybe they initiate force on crazy people. I don't know. I just don't know. But it's...
Well, if the crazy person is, again, a threat to another person, then that makes sense to protect the other people from them. But if all they want to do is slice their wrists open... That's a messy situation, because then we get into we're back to the question of, well, what happens if you, it's kind of a different version of the question of, well, Mark, you're standing in front of a bus that's oncoming and I come in and I push you out of the way. Mm-hmm. You wanted to kill yourself in that case, and I saved you from killing yourself. Am I then liable for what I've done to you?
What damages have you, what harm have you caused?
I don't know, but just kind of the general question. Yeah, I guess you had originally created that with the issue of I hurt you in
right.
some way when
broke
I
my collarbone
you.
When I landed.
Am I then liable? And I would say yes, that by taking the risk of stepping in to help somebody who may not have wanted my help, I have exposed myself to liability. So I think some people would take that risk, and some people wouldn't. And sometimes it would work out, and sometimes it wouldn't. But I do know that in all of those cases, in a free marketplace, there would be a professional arbitrator that would be hearing each case and would not be judging a case based on some code that was written down that wouldn't necessarily fit the case, as the government code frequently is just not... They just can't write enough different versions of it or iterations to fit all of the possibilities for life. So having some sort of arbitrator being able to take in all of the information and make a decision as to whether or not, you know, this person should be liable for harming somebody's freedom or not, I think would result in a much better system. Would there still be injustice? Probably. Would there still be confusion? It's a confusing issue. But I like where Mark is coming from in that we've got a real bad way. A bad system today.
Right.
Well, it seems like most of the, in the case of like the Iraq veterans, you know, they get back and essentially all they do is a screen. And are you having these kind of problems, you know, the minute they get off the plane? And then no. And then these mental health issues, you know, PTSD or whatever, pop up months, years later.
That's a brilliant point. And I thank you for the call tonight. Great discussion. We might dig into it a little further into this article, see what it has to say. But great point that the military, the government itself, is one of the biggest contributors to people having mental problems. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope. Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and FreeTalkLive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Free Talk Live, you take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All of our features are free on the website. Those other talk show hosts, they want to charge you to access their sites. Ours is free at freetalklive.com. And if you like the show and you want to voluntarily support us, well, we invite you to do so by becoming an amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We'll take that money in and reinvest it into the show, get on more radio stations around the country, bring more internet listeners on board as well, expose new people to the ideas of freedom. So please become an amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get perks too, like access to the amp-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. Again, amp.freetalklive.com.
There are lots of reasons you might want to hide your valuables around your home. Bank failures, burglars, ex-spouses, your kids, housekeepers. StashYourSwag.com gives you more than 100 common places around your home, most with little or no modification. The guide contains detailed pictures, and all of the modifications are under $50. It's StashYourSwag, S-W-A-G.com. It's an ebook. It's under $7. StashYourSwag.com.
All right, so I'm going to continue on this topic here that Jonathan brought up, because it's one that really hasn't gotten a lot of attention on this show. And according to the Future of Freedom Foundation's Sheldon Richman, it's a topic that just doesn't get much attention in the liberty movement, period.
It's a topic that doesn't get much attention anywhere, anytime.
And that is mental illness, or what they call mental illness. That's going to be addressed here because it's not really an accurate term. But the idea of if somebody is a danger to themselves, that they should be put into some sort of crazy house for 72 hours or however long it takes, forced medication upon them. According to this story at Future Freedom Foundation, it happens to over 2 million Americans every single year. They're just locked away. And so let me continue this story here. As Sheldon points out, if a person refuses, he could be hospitalized, and that is locked up. It's estimated that 2 million people are committed against their will every year in the U.S. Also, under the diagnosis of mental illness, a person may ask to be excused for having committed a crime. The insanity plea can even be entered on behalf of a defendant against his will. If acquitted by reason of insanity, a defendant is hospitalized and not imprisoned. But that only means that he, unlike a criminal, is locked up for an indefinite period and forcibly given drugs and other treatments. All such people are diagnosed purely on the basis of their behavior and their statements.
Right. The idea that people are found innocent by reason of insanity and then locked up in mental hospitals that look remarkably like prisons, for one, propagates the idea that people get away with crimes through our criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. And if you look at from arrest through conviction, you'll find that very, 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 very few people are found innocent. A few more are, acquitted. Mm-hmm. I guess acquitted and innocent, the same thing. A few more are their cases are dropped on technicalities, but the vast majority of them, if the arrest, actually goes beyond arrest into a real trial situation,
right?
Then you're going to get found guilty. That's how the system works. The system pays itself by finding people guilty.
All such people are diagnosed purely on the basis of their behavior and statements. And this might come as a surprise, since the media is full of stories about supposed brain disorders as the causes of mental illness. In fact, psychiatrists do not perform physical exams on people, much less do brain scans. Besides, if mental illness were really brain illnesses, they would be treated not by psychiatrists but by neurologists, as real brain illnesses like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are. Some need not commit a common law crime. It's all this highlighting that Johnson did on the article. Someone need not commit a common law crime to come under suspicion of mental illness. The expert judgment of danger to self or others is not a scientific conclusion. It's a prediction about unpredictable human beings. And I think this is part of the slippery slope that is the idea that somebody should be locked up for being a danger to oneself or others.
Sure. And
because who defines? Who says?
The other side of this is, what about these people that are clearly just bat crap crazy out there? Everybody's seen them
walking around.
Right. There's a guy named, I think his name's Mike, in downtown Sarasota he talks to people. He talks to his pack of cigarettes, and he wanders around without a shirt, and his hair is nappy. He happens to be a black man. His hair is, nappy. He sleeps in the alleyway there. But, odd thing is, Mike somehow has been making his life work for several years.
He's been a fixture, right?
And he's not hurting anybody. I don't know whether he's stolen anything. You would think that somebody that poor is liable to, have slippery morals on stealing. But, somehow his life is progressing okay for him.
But if somebody who thinks they know best steps into that situation with Mike or whoever it is the alleged crazy person is and says, "Boy, you're not right. You're not right in the mind."
He's not.
So we're going to put you in this cell and give you some drugs. That's just it. The question becomes, who draws the line at what is and what is not appropriate? Who draws the line at what is and what is not right
because
as far
Mike
as behavior?
Clearly doesn't want this. The Salvation Army is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
The colonel of the Salvation Army there in Sarasota knows the guy by name. He's gone down there. He's talks to him on a regular basis, asking him if he'll come to the Salvation Army, but they can't force him to.
Sure.
Because, he's getting fed by the local restaurants around there. I guess he sleeps in an alleyway and between a couple of garbage cans and everything. Fine for him.
Life is good.
Yep.
Psychiatric confinement, thus, is preventative detention, which ordinarily is recognized as a violation of libertarian principles, not to mention Western legal tradition. So why should the subject interest libertarians? Well, if the law permitted individuals to be committed to a religious institution and subjected to exorcism whenever a clergyman certified that the subject was possessed by the devil, libertarians would protest loudly. Yet when something similar happens in the name of not of religion, but of science and medicine, most libertarians ignore, if not accept it. It's strange, to say the least, but it gets little discussion in the libertarian literature. Why? Well, that's what Thomas Zatz, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, S-Z-A-S-Z, would like to know. It's a question he explores in his newest book, Faith in Freedom, Libertarian Principles and Psychiatric Practices. And it'll be controversial because, in part, Sots bluntly discusses the mental health views of some libertarian heroes, including Ayn Rand, Nathaniel Brandon, Hayek, Nozick, Rothbard, and others. But the book is more of a study of libertarian thinkers. Particularly fascinating is Zotz's linking of psychiatry with establishment economics. He shows that in both cases, an agenda for social control is disguised in the terms of value-free science. He demonstrates that neither is a science like physics or biology, but a pseudoscience or scientism. When an economist proposes regulation, a price control, or a tax in the name of economic health, he resembles a psychiatrist who proposes to hospitalize, drug, or electroshock people in the name of mental health. In both cases, the pseudoscientist advocates the initiation of physical force against innocent people or the threat of physical force without acknowledging that fact. He argues, Sotz does, that the term mental illness is in fact a category error. It refers to behavior, including statements, but behavior is not illness. In real medicine, an illness is a health-threatening defect in cells, tissues, or organs. Mental illness refers to bad or disturbing behavior. The idea that illness can cause behavior undercuts the very idea of person. Human action has reasons, not causes. Mental illness cannot be a real illness because the mind is not a body part. As he once put it, mind is a verb and not a noun, thus it's not something that can become sick. If that's so, then psychiatry is revealed as pseudo-medicine, psychiatric diagnosis as lies, commitment as preventative detention, and involuntary treatments as assaults. Why have libertarians, including some of the greatest ones, been willing to take at face value a profession, psychiatry, that was born in the arms of the state and that is authorized by law to initiate violence against those who have violated no one's rights? One reason is surely intellectual modesty, the belief that psychiatry is an esoteric specialty which people outside the profession are incapable of judging, but that excuse will not do. As Sotz writes in his book, from social scientists, that is, from students of human affairs, especially if their interests encompass issues of individual liberty and personal responsibility, I believe we ought to expect more. They ought to be able to familiarize themselves with the few truths and many falsehoods about the medical specialty called psychiatry. Why psychiatry? Because psychiatric interventions, in particular civil commitment and the diversions from the criminal justice to the mental health system, are the most common and most widely and uncritically accepted methods used by the modern state to deprive individuals of liberty and responsibility. It's an interesting discussion, an interesting topic, and I think that libertarians and liberty-minded people really need to take a long, hard think on this one, to sit down and think about this one, because it's not respecting somebody else's freedom. It's not allowing others to be free to involuntarily commit them to some sort of psychiatric treatment. As strange as that might seem to some of you out there, you've got to allow others to be free if you yourself wish to be free. And that even means if you think they're crazy. Because they could say you're crazy.
We're all crazy.
They have said it, right? They've said that those constitutionalists and those freedom people are crazy. They're dangerous. Hour 2 is coming up. Free Talk Live.
They say we're hated for our freedoms. Their solution? Take away our freedoms.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
They spend both your lives and your money with reckless abandon.
We're out of money now. We're operating in deep deficits.
One organization dares to dream of a world where nations compete for citizens instead of enslaving them. The Seasteading Institute is looking for pioneers to homestead the high seas and take civilization to the next level. Join the revolution at seasteading.org.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.